when he reached down his hand for me. Oh, when he reached way down, oh, for me. Oh, oh, oh.
I was lost.
Oh. Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Woo, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord.
The Lord. Well, feels good today to be back in the house of the Lord. Appreciate all of you that came out. I know we've got a lot out today, but this is not bad weather to me from up in Missouri. I was wondering this morning if y'all been praying that God would help me a little bit with a little cold weather, not being used to all this warm weather in Arkansas. But if you have been, I can tell you, you can quit praying. I don't care if it ever gets cold again. I like fair weather. but this, I couldn't. Last night they was talking about all these churches closing today. I thought, my. I got out yesterday and saw the roads was clear enough that it'd be all right today. So anyway, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord today. When I looked up and saw Sister Renata Douglas come back in. I'm glad she's here. Praise God. We appreciate you being here. We want you to be a part of our family. We feel like all of God's children is a part of our family, and then even those that aren't even saved, we feel like we've got enough Adam still left in us that we're kin somewhere. I claim kin with the sons of Adam out here. I don't like it. I don't like having to do that, but I know it's the truth. I know that I haven't fully moved into Christ, and I'm not fully abiding there yet. I'm working on it. I'd like to have that testimony, say that I abide in Him and He abides in me, and there's no room for Adam. But you can want that, but that doesn't make it so. It doesn't fix it, just wanting it. But it takes God. Did you know that? It takes God to work in your life and then to cause a transformation. Paul said, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, your mind has to get in this. There has to be a certain knowledge and understanding of God and God's ways. You start out with the Lord, you don't have a full knowledge and full understanding, and you'll find out it takes time for that. Even in a restored church, it took time for that. The Apostle John was appealing to those seven churches. Of course, it was Christ appealing to them through the letters John write, but there he was still appealing that they hold on to the things that they had, and he was still making promises to overcomers, to them to hold out that promise of a reward for those that could overcome. The Apostle John, I feel comfortable that even though he wrote those letters in somewhere in AD 90s and up to possibly AD 100, that John was walking in perfection. He was a man that had overcome. I don't think that it took him that long to overcome, but God kept him on the scene. He had for your and my sake. Aren't you glad for that? That God had that apostle still on the job to write letters to those Gentile churches, and then in chapter 4 he said, the angel told John, said, write this down. I'm going to show you what's going to happen out in the future. He said, I heard a voice that spake unto me like unto a trumpet. Said, come up hither, and I'll show thee things that must be hereafter. So in the first chapter, he was just showing what would shortly come to pass to those seven churches. But in chapter 4, he began to unveil the future from that time forward. And wrote a lot of things down that you and I were to finally see and embrace, along with the letters that the Apostle Paul. Do y'all realize that most of the whole New Testament was written for your and my sake? They had the gospel that was understood through the law. They found Christ in the law and the prophets back there, and it was unveiled. Those Jewish people had such a history and such a knowledge of the law of Moses and the prophets that when those men began to talk on Christ and his manifestation to the world and the fullness of what God had and that he was bringing through his son Jesus Christ, they saw it. And but Paul began to write letters. Even Peter's letters was written to Paul's churches. And James, I think, he wrote to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. He was writing them and dealing with them, but most all the other letters, even the book of Acts, we get just a little glimpse into what was taking place back there in the early church. And then the focus moves over into the labor of the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, that God had all that recorded for your sake and my sake. And here we are nearly 2,000 years later. God is still, ministering to us, still trying to bring us to a place. I thought when we were singing that song, what was the first song we sang there that was, he lifted me up and he set me free. He's still lifting us Gentiles up today. We're still being lifted out of ourselves. I mentioned in the Bible study how my wife had met this Vietnamese girl who was telling her that the main predominant religion in Vietnam is Buddhism. And how that, I guess it was her uncle that was telling you about how fortunate he was to come over here. He owned this business where she was at. And he was so thankful that he got to come to America. But I was just telling how my wife got to talking to her about the religion of her country, and how she said that they all had to convert to Christianity to be sponsored by church to come to America. But after they came and were and got their green cards, and I'm sure they probably have residence, or even probably some of them citizenship now in America, that she said she had converted back to Buddhism. And I was just relating how that God she mentioned how she never did really. She said she converted, but she said, I always prayed to Buddha even when I was in the church, Christian church because I didn't accept it. But then my wife, she said, I don't guess any of the family accepted it because they had a big Buddha right there in their place of business. So she said, I guess the whole family really never did convert, or they converted back. I said, that's not a real good witness of that church, that they couldn't get them out of a heathenistic, idolatrous religion, that they couldn't convince them of Christ being the Son of God, the true God and only God. And there's a lot of work that has to be done down here in the Gentile world and in the thousand-year millennial reign. The Bible says, so don't get to thinking that everything is going to be changed, that God's Word is going to bring everything into, the Bible does say every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. That's ultimately going to take place in the world. But it's not going to take place in the end of the Gentile world. God's dealing with making up the remainder of His bride, and He's dealing with where the gospel has been sold and is being sold down. God will, He right now is dealing with other countries. But the down through the thousand years, nations, whole nations will come into the kingdom of heaven. Finally, every nation will see and accept Christ, and every knee finally will bow, every tongue will confess. But God, this has been a big project the Lord is working on to bring us into the knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ, and God's purpose for creation to begin with. I said, if it wasn't for God's purpose, if it wasn't for God's people, if God already had got all the people He could save out of this world, He would have already judged it. There wouldn't be, He had already ended all of this. But in His mercy, in His long suffering, He still, His purpose hasn't been fulfilled, not even in our world. But look, if the Spirit of God has touched your life, if God's lifted you up, whatever measure you've been touched, it doesn't, there's people that have not only haven't received the Holy Ghost, they haven't even heard about it, but they know something about Jesus. They've been taught against, or maybe not even taught about the Holy Ghost. But if Jesus has touched your life in any measure, you're blessed. There's been a part of that lifting up. God working in your life, touching you, trying to bring you out of the fallen condition of mankind and trying to restore you back into His original purpose and His plan. He's still reaching down. He's still reaching out. And if you're here today because God has touched your life, and He still wants to touch it more and more. He wants finally to get us into a place that we go no more out. Isn't there one of the letters of the seven churches is that you would go in, the temple of God and go no more out. Thank God. Adam was in there, but he went out. But there's a promise for being able to go in and not going back out. That finally you could reach a place in God where sin wasn't working in your members anymore. Don't you want that? I think most people want that. But I think a lot of people don't want it enough to put an effort, to be diligent enough, to be a desirous enough of God and godliness and holiness. to want to seek Him and God has to deal with you. I know that. God has to deal with you. God has to have a way of reaching you and dealing with your life. But if you'll open your heart up, I'll promise you this, God will find a way to you. God will find a way into your life. If you'll just begin to seek Him, begin to open up towards Him, He'll make Himself real to you more and more. So I'm thankful today that God's let me be a part of this, and that He's let me be a part enough that I want to be more of a part. I want to be closer to Him. I want to know Him in a greater way. I want more of His righteousness working in my life, not as a have to, not as a law or legalistic way, but I'd like to have enough of God in me that it's become a part of me. That His righteousness has become a part of my character. This gets in your mind enough, it'll get in your spirit. It gets in your thinking, you'll take on the mind of Christ. He took on the mind of His Father. He stayed in that place with the Father enough that He was able to finally get His mind. Finally, when He was on the cross, I know when He said it's finished, He understood that He was finishing something for all of mankind, but I also know that He knew something was being finished in His life. That He finally reached a place in God that He not only finished all that God sent Him here to do for you and I, but He was a first partaker of being transformed and translated out of a life that had the potential for sin and corruption. Jesus was tempted in every point that you and I are tempted in, yet He was without sin. And what we're looking for is that place that Jesus was in to come back to where God's brought us in a place where we've got enough of God working in us, where we may be tempted in every point, but we've got enough of power of God to live above it. That there's enough of God's availability, the power of God, and the Word and knowledge and understanding of God, that we have enough power to live up above sin. I'd like to get back where Adam was before he fell and get in that holy place and stay there. Go out no more. Hallelujah. So, he may just give every one of us here today just another little touch that'll cause us to step up just a little higher. If you just make a step greater in Him, you've improved. There's been something blessed happen to your life. Amen. Brother Andrew Kinnemer's out here with us today from Dallas Church. Aren't we glad to have him here? He may be scouting around. I don't know exactly what he's doing. I know he's fellowshipping, visiting, and we're sure glad to have him. And I'll just go ahead and tell you girls he's available. Well, he's not married yet, is he? Are you? Yeah, well, he's available then. He may not admit it, but he is. And all right. Praise God. Well, I'm glad to be here. And then have Brother Adams and Brother Gore. Brother Adams from Benton Harbor, Michigan. Brother Gore from Detroit. And Brother Darrell Jones from Louisville. There with Brother Jesse Urbano and Brother Rader, and that assembly there, we're sure glad. Aren't we glad to have them? Praise God. Just open your hearts to these brethren today. Let them minister to you. They're safe brethren. They've been around long enough to know how to work in the kingdom of God, and so open your hearts to them. Let's just let God work in this service here today. What do you say? Amen. All right, I know There, I want to take up the prayer request and receive the offering and get out of the way for these brethren. But so if you've got prayer requests, Sister Elsie. All right. Her family, Sister, of course, Sister Wilkins is not here today, and Sister Rice, Brother and Sister Crow called. They were a little frightful of getting out on some of the secondary roads. And then Brother and Sister Wallace and Brother Weaver, Brother and Sister Weaver aren't here today. There's several out. Let's pray for them. Brother Daniels is real sick with a lung infection, asking for prayer. And the Weavers called in asking to pray for them. All right, what else here today? Sister Lisa, her teachers lost her husband, passed away with a heart attack. Brother Stewart. All right, let's remember Sister Lynette today. Brother Fisher. All right. Brother Elisha's really been sick, so pray. Sister Jennifer, I'm sure, is home with her. All right. Sammy Stinson, let's remember that. Brother Steve Smith from Paducah's supposed to be with us this evening service, and he's having car trouble. I know he'd appreciate us praying for him. Brother Dodson wants to remember Sister Catherine. Keep her in your prayers. Sister Abraham. All right. Sister Thompson. All right. Remember that. Brother Thompson's son in Afghanistan. Pray that they'd get to hear. Yes, Haiti. Remember the condition over there in Haiti. It's going to be a long, drawn-out situation, affair. All the pastors over there. Pray for those leading men. Brother Preval, Brother Lionel Joseph, Brother Simeon, Brother Benjamin John T., and Brother Gracious, all those brethren that are working, laboring to try to help and even find out. I got a phone call at 6 o'clock in the morning, day before yesterday, from Brother Eddie Jean Charles up in Carfu. He said, Brother Smith, nobody's here. There's no soldiers. There's no medicine. We're running out of water. He said, we need help desperately. And so pray for all the people in the body of Christ over there. There's about 1,500 that's moved up to St. Mark area. Brother Rogers is going over there taking an offering to help them. And I'll give you a report that we had about, in the meeting at Brownsville, we had over almost around $65,000 in offerings come in for Haiti. And there's that took it way up over $100,000 that's come in. And so we've sent, I know, $25,000 in cash from the Dominican Republic. You know, people having to go there, you can't get in Haiti without going through the Dominican Republic right now. So, but pray those leading men that are responsible to try to find all the needs and then disperse it. How would you like to have the responsibility to try to figure out how to help all them people and have all that money and try to figure out who needs it the worst? And all, they've got a great responsibility and burden on their shoulders, so let's remember them. Sister Weiniger, did you have your hand up? You didn't? Oh, okay, good. Sister, yes. All right, Crystal and all right. Let's remember that. Brother Goss, he had he was having a quadruple bypass last Wednesday, and they actually did a fifth. They found another blockage in a fifth artery, so they replaced five arteries there in his heart. And but he's doing good. He's every report I'm getting. He's of course he's been in such good health. He's now had very little wrong with his health. So you know that's a that you know open heart surgery nowadays is not near as serious as it used to be. You can get over it unless you know there are conditions like Brother Jerry York. Brother Jerry York's got a. He's got a condition. The doctors told me, said, I've never seen a heart in worse condition than this man's. It's a wonder he's alive. And he's had two surgeries, and they've told him, you can't have another one. His heart's so covered with plaque, if God don't touch him, they've told him, you won't live another 7 or 8 years. And so keep praying for Brother York that God would touch him. He can do a lot of things, but if he overdoes it, he gets... I can tell. I can see it even in him. Oh, you can't have a bad enough heart that open heart surgery won't help you. Thank God for these that do have healthy enough hearts that it's just blocked inside. It's not covered with disease. Pray for Brother Goss. He's on the mends, and he told me, he said, I feel like I'm going to be a new man. I'm going to have a new lease on life. So. All right. All right, remember Brother Brian. All right. Yes, I thank you for praying for me. I was really sick. Got up out of the sick bed to go to the meeting, but I feel better. I got some antibiotics before I left, and I feel better, much better than I did when I left. I still have a little bit of it lingering. Just keep praying for Brother McGowan. He's still having trouble with his trachea and bronchitis. He can't shake it hardly. So let's pray God would touch him. All right, let's all stand. The usher would come. We'll receive the offering also, tithes and offerings at this time. Praise God. Precious Lord Jesus, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness to us. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I know you know. You're aware of our needs, Savior. Precious Lord and God, touch these that are sick in their bodies, oh God. And the brothers and sisters in Haiti, Lord, that need. We just keep calling on you, Lord, to help them. Help them, oh God, in all their situations, Jesus. Lift them up, oh God. Keep them encouraged, dear Savior. Work a work in their hearts and lives during this time, we pray. Meet the needs here of this local church, Lord. Amen, amen. All right. God bless you as you give here today. Thank you.
good to be here. Thankful when the service started that the Spirit of the Lord came in. People entertained it. The saints. Okay. I'm Brother Darrell Jones from Louisville. I think the first time I was in Little Rock, Arkansas, we were in a little building over here. And when you dance, you could feel the floor move, Brother Smith. And that was quite a while ago. I was a teenager. Those good memories, aren't they? If you're still here and you can remember far back, that's a good thing. Some people are not here now. They don't remember those days. Look at the setting we are here at today, how the Lord has blessed us. I think then you all began to have some youth meetings back then, and I attended those. And then I was like this, brother. I was available, and I chased one of the sisters until she caught me, and then I wasn't available anymore. And then I had children, and I brought them to the youth meeting. So I appreciate the assembly. Appreciate Brother Tucker, and appreciate Brother Ray Lineker and the brethren that's worked with them. Brother Weiniger, Brother Daniel, and all these brothers, and Brother Smith. God's church is alive, and it's well, and it's going on, isn't it? Praise God. I mentioned we're in a place where miracles can happen. People can be delivered. Salvation takes place. Your life can be transformed. Things that we can't imagine with our natural mind. When we came to the body of Jesus Christ, we came to a place where people in this world read about in a book and don't realize it can happen in the modern times that we're living in. And we have testimonies in our own lives to prove that and bear that out, don't we? Most people, or a lot of people, think the Bible is a history book, that things happened back in times gone by and in the past, but it don't happen now. But I'm glad I found a Savior. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's some things He did back then. I know He has an overall plan, but there's still certain things that He still does today. One thing that happened in my life recently is we had a brother in our church. He and his wife went on vacation to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And he was in a car with his daughter. She wanted to get something to drink, and his wife and his grandkids were in a cabin. And a man drinking was driving a Mustang Saline and hit him head on. And it just broke the man's leg, but it put him in a coma. It was October 5th, and he was in a coma for about 2 months, and on a ventilator, and it looked doom and gloom and gloom. Because I'm in the medical field, and I know some of the sisters here are too, and when you look scientifically at certain situations and circumstances, you don't have much hope. But in the body of Jesus Christ, we can believe in hope against hope. Like Abraham did, when things appear like there's no situation, it can be changed. When it comes to man's natural intelligence or ability, that's when we realize we can call upon God, and He can be touched with a feeling of our infirmities, and then give Him a chance. You know, people try a lot of things. You can try the doctors, the lawyers, appeal, and medicine. But I say let's give God a chance, see what He can do. And when they painted the dim picture on this brother, people began to pray and fast. And this brother was particularly a friend of mine. My wife and his wife were real good friends. And he had quit coming to church for a while. Didn't go out in the world in deep sin, but he quit coming to church. I want to stay in the boat where there's safety, don't you? We got to stay in the boat. Paul told him, he says, except you abide in the ship, you can't be saved. I believe that, Brother Hans. We got to stay in a ship. We got to stay in a boat to be saved. But whatever the reason, this brother quit coming for a while. But you know, God is merciful. He is righteous and He's just. He'll leave the fold and He'll go looking for that one that is lost. He's a good shepherd, isn't He? He's a great shepherd. So He didn't give up on this brother. I've gave up on myself sometimes. I gave up on other people sometimes. But then I realized who the Savior is, who the Messiah is, who Jesus is, and what authority he has and what power he has, that give him a chance to intervene. But anyway, people began to pray and fast. And I had a dream about this brother, and I didn't know what it meant. And here we was up in October in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'd go up there real frequently. And I had a dream that he was home, and there was snow on the ground, and he was sitting on a bicycle, smiling at me. So here his wife, you know, here she's devastated, and that's by the means of support to that family, and, you know, it's all gone. Our life can be changed in a moment, in an instant. Things can happen. That's why Jesus said, your time is always. Things can happen. Our whole life can be turned upside down just in a second. But anyway, that's what happened to this brother. In this dream, I told her, I said, I don't think it's the season that God's going to heal this brother. And while I'm telling you this, yesterday, or the day before yesterday, he was in the ambulance going home. He came out of the coma when he was in the hospital. And we were up there. He was talking to us. He could raise his hand and wave to us, you know, et cetera. He was coming to himself. He had a tracheostomy, and they closed that up. And he was on his way home. He just had an infection, and when they got that cleared up, he was going to send him home. That was on a Sunday about a month ago. So my wife and I went back home, and Monday, the next day, he started acting different. And his wife tried to tell the nurse that something's wrong, he's acting different. And that was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and they didn't do nothing until 9 o'clock that night. And he either had a stroke for his blood pressure going higher, they gave him too much medicine to thin his blood, but anyway, he had a stroke, and it put him back in a coma again. So sometimes God has to come on the scene more than one time. And what happened was, you know, he got in a coma again, but the day before yesterday, he got in an ambulance, and he was on his way home, and when he got home, there was 4 inches of snow in Louisville. And I said, God, you're a miracle worker. You talk to your people. And in the dream, I couldn't understand what the bicycle part meant, and then I realized he didn't go home to his house. He went to Fraser Rehab in Louisville. And so it came to me. Here it was. He's going to come home. It's going to be snow on the ground. And he's riding a bike. And that's Fraser Rehab. He's going to be rehabilitated there. And eventually God's going to raise him up and bring him out. So I'm thankful, aren't you, that God cares for his people. He's mindful of us. He's in control. He that begun a good work in us, he's going to finish it. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And if we want to go, if we want to suffer, I'm like Brother Smith. In my mind, I say, I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, that I may know him in the power of his resurrections. But when we say that, then we have opposition, don't we? Our spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit, and these are things contrary one to the other. But thank God, the new man can be victorious. He can win. We can run in a race. We can strive lawfully. We can eventually have victory. That's why we have to reckon that in our mind. Paul said, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin. You know, I reckon that the present sufferings are not counted worthy of the glory that will be revealed in them. The things that they suffered and the things that we suffer at times, that can't compare to the glory that God is going to give us if we endure and if we hold out. And if we don't faint, Jesus told him, he said, no man taketh hold unto the plow and looketh backward as fit for the kingdom of heaven. And then he told him, he said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And so we got to endure, and we can't faint. And I'm thankful that we're in the house of God, and you hear a message from the man of God, and the ministry here is, that when we do have those thoughts in our mind and we do battle those doubtful feelings and emotions that we have, the causes to have fear, the causes to have doubt, the causes to have unbelief, we're in a place where we can wash our mind. We can get it renewed to where it can become like Christ. We can wash our spirit to where instead of having a complaining, murmuring, critical spirit, that no matter the situation that we're in, no matter the circumstances, no matter how it looks, we can lift our hands up and begin to praise Him, begin to be thankful, begin to say, Lord, You're going to give us the victory. You're going to lead us on. You're alive. You're the Savior. You started this work. It begun in the Spirit. You're going to finish it in the Spirit. And if I get hooked up with the Spirit of God, You're able to take me on no matter what happens. The flood can come upon us, but it ain't going to drown us. The fire can come upon us, and it ain't going to burn us. The church was fed to the lions, but the lions couldn't defeat it. Jesus is going to be victorious, isn't He? I saw a white horse in Revelation, and he that sat upon him, his name, in truth and righteousness, he went forward to conquer and conquer, and his vesture was dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. So Jesus is going to take the reins of that horse one more time. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for that vision? And then we're living in a time when that can take place, where it's going to take place. Brother Smith was talking downstairs, there'll be time no longer. You know this times of the Gentiles is going to come to the end. Jerusalem was trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. One of these days God is going to say, this is it. The Gentile nations, you've had your time, it's over with. And He's going to judge, the Bible said, that great whore that sat upon many waters with a cup in her hand full of the blood of the saints. And she saith, I said it a queen and am no widow. But in one hour, so great destruction or beauty is going to come to naught in one hour by so great a destruction. And He's going to do that by the bride of Christ. So I'm thankful for the vision that God has given us. And I'm thankful that I'm here. Do you know if you're here, that's a... You know, sometimes we want to beat ourselves down so much that we don't give ourselves credit sometimes. You know, God doesn't do it all Himself. He's all powerful and He's all knowledge. He's omnipotent. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha and Omega. But He's not anything unless we believe in Him. He's not anything unless we believe in His Word. He's not anything unless we have faith in Him. He says, I am that I am. Well, what is He? He's to me whatever I need if I believe in Him. And how we believe in Him is by hearing the Word of God, isn't it? By the men of God, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers for the perfecting of the saints. So I want to open my mind up to the Word of God. I want to open my spirit up to the Spirit of God. I want to eat His flesh and drink His blood. He said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have life indeed. The children of Israel were wrapped up in their traditions and their own doctrines, and they transgressed the law of God by their tradition. As for doctrines taught commandments of men, they couldn't see that things were changing. The law and the prophets were in John, but truth and grace come by Jesus Christ. There was a new thing going to happen, but they couldn't change. They weren't flexible enough. I'm thankful, Brother Smith, that there's a ministry telling us to be flexible. Don't have your mind made up too much. Be flexible. So when God wants us to make a change, then we'll be flexible and move when He moves. If we're not flexible, if we're too stiff and we're full of our wine bottles are too stiff, God can't put any new wine in it. He told them, He said, yeah, I can't put new wine in old bottles lest they burst, but He'll put new wine in new bottles. And I know if I stay pliable, that when God makes a move, when He talks to the ministry, when the cloud and the fire begin to move, and God says, don't plant your stakes too deep in the ground, it's time to move, that I'll get up and move. A lot of people aren't in the Church of Jesus Christ today because they didn't want to move. They didn't want to change. If we don't have to move forward in God, if we don't have to change, that means we've got it all. We've received all the truth. We've been restored. But we have a ministry that's telling us the best is yet to come. There's greater things ahead. It's wonderful what we have, but there's greater things ahead. He's going to conform His Word with signs and wonders again. They're going to speak, they're going to see eye to eye and speak with one mouth. When the Lord confirms His Word again, it'll be established. So I'm thankful that I'm not in an organization today. I'm thankful that I'm not in a prison house where that I can't worship God when I come to church, or I can't ask a question that's contrary to the doctrine or the organization that I'm in. But we're in a people that are seeking God and that are relying and leaning on the Holy Ghost. And a people that believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is what God has given down on this earth to work through a ministry to take us on. He said, I'll give you the comfort of Spirit of Truth. He'll lead you and guide you into all things. So the Holy Ghost is what's going to take us on. That's when I come to church and the Spirit of God falls. I want to reach my hand up and have communion with it. I want to feel it. I want to know that He's alive in my soul. I don't want to praise God because He's live in a brother and sister soul. I thank God for that, but I want Him to be live in my soul too. I want to feel that resurrected power in my life because that's what gives us power and strength not to sin, isn't it? That's what secures us. That's what the new creature is. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, we were dead in trespasses and sin, but we've been translated to the kingdom of His dear Son by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you must be born again. If you want to be saved, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you've got to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I remember when I was a young man, I was a drug addict. I was an agnostic. My parents didn't grow up in church, and I was a failure in life. I went to the eighth grade, and I started listening to rock and roll music and drugging and drinking and all those kind of things. And I realized I ruined my life. And I looked in the mirror and I could see failure. Somebody that was ruined. But I wanted to change. But I couldn't change. I wanted to stop sinning. I didn't want to be addicted because I knew it was destroying my mind and my body and my health. I couldn't hold a job. And you know, some people, that things like that doesn't bother them. It doesn't affect them. I thank God that I had a conscience. Aren't you glad that we've got a conscience and we know what right and wrong is? Some people in this world are reprobates. They don't have a conscience. They can't even discern good and evil and what's righteous and unrighteous and the sin. It has no effect to them. They don't